Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
No, John Downing, a very good morning to you and thanks for joining us after what has been a tumultuous week internationally. John, first question, have you got a spare 1 billion euro in your back pocket? Because if you do, you could be on the board of peace.
I could, couldn't I? My God almighty. So crazier and crazier. And that swanning about fest that is Davos, I mean, it seemed like to me every year this thing goes on and it drives me nuts. You know, sort of Bono talking to the head of the UN and, oh, stop. You know, it just gets, it's a caricature of itself. But your man's board, yeah, for peace, but international peace board, I mean, he's just trying to upend the United Nations and, you know, I mean, really and truly. But this week we saw, we entered the realms of the absurd, where your man didn't know whether, Trump didn't know whether he was talking about Iceland or Greenland. Three times I counted him calling it Iceland. Utterly absurd, delusional. He's the man's brain, if he ever had much, is completely shot. He spoke for an hour and a half, insulted everyone, got everything wrong, made up heaps of things. And then he went off and he just climbed down off his high horse. Happily, the NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte had given him a climb down. But, I mean, yeah, where it leads
to
rest.
He gave him an off ramp, as they say in US politics.
As the Americans say, he gave him an off ramp. Yeah. Which he always had. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
because it was a totally self-inflicted crisis or self-created crisis by
He can have tens of thousands. He can have tens of thousands of troops in Greenland handy. And by the way, I was only reading this. This is a thing that even I hadn't fully realised. As we speak, there are 66,000 US forces, mainly all over Europe. There's a parts of Africa and Asia, which are part of the European command of the thing. In actual fact, there's a town down in the south of Germany, close to the Czech border in Bavaria, and it has 41,000 people between US service personnel, civilian employees, and family dependents. It is, to all intents and purposes, an American town with shopping malls, with the whole lot. And that's going on while he's beating the drum and abusing Europe and the whole lot. And that is the reality. There are 30-odd bases. There's 13 of them in Germany itself. And it goes on.
Yeah. Is there any sense, John, that the NATO countries, the European Union countries, you know, Ireland may be stuck in the middle of it all, afraid to, you know, perhaps, you know, upset things too much because of our reliance on America and the relationship that's there? But the wider European Union, are they getting tired of the carry-on? Or are they just holding their breath saying, look, we're going to have to bear this for another few years?
Yeah, I mean, they are realizing we have 3 years. He has done year one. There are three to go. All eyes are on the midterm House of Representatives elections on November 3rd next. But the amount of damage that man could do between now and the 3rd of November next is pretty considerable. Ireland, the EU is sadly moving towards, it was the most successful peace project in history. Now it's moving to be a defence alliance. The blurring of boundaries between the EU and NATO continues. And yeah. Europe is going to have to invest in its own defence. And you know, it's very regrettable. There are big decisions to be made for Ireland. We don't have to abandon neutrality. We do have to be more honest about our situation, however. And I've said this, we've had this conversation in various guises in recent months, Jerry. Firstly, we have to spend vastly more on our own defence, particularly the seas around Kerry, the southwest, the undersea cables, all of that. Then we have to make practical arrangements. We won't be able to do it all. We're going to have to make practical arrangements with people with whom we deal all the time. That is Britain, various other EU partners, and the USA. We're just going to have to be honest and say there's a job here to be done. It's going to have to be done.
Yeah, because without America and without the certainty that was there, which may never be there again, you're going to have to rely, like the same way Denmark relied on the rest of the EU and NATO this week.
Absolutely. And we saw it. If Hardy came to Hardy, I mean, it was debated in the Dáil, and the members of the opposition said, time for you to take the gloves off. Taoiseach telling Micheál Martin, time to take the gloves off to Washington, to Trump, all that. All well and good, but there's tens of thousands of jobs at stake here. And there is a very natural kind of contradiction and fault line that Micheál Martin is going to have to live with and take up. I mean, there is, you know, we're going to talk about this maybe in a few minutes, but the whole question of St. Patrick's Day and the visits to the US, they are going ahead from the government point of view, and they have to.
Yeah, they do. John, elsewhere, a very big vote, as it turned out, in the European Parliament this week. The Mercosur trade deal now kicked into the legal long grass. MEPs, Irish MEPs, divided on the issue. Sean Kelly came out fighting on this programme yesterday morning, calling farmers and some of the TD and MEPs, accusing them of scaremongering and not dealing in facts on the trade agreement, disagreeing with the idea of putting it down the legal road. He said it's been down there before. Is this a full flexing of the farming lobby's muscles in this country, John? The number of TDs and MEPs that are against Mercosur because the farmers are against it. And it's fair enough for the lobbyists, the farmers, to be against it. Yeah. They're not happy with it. They're afraid it'll affect the price of beef. But that is that what we saw, the power of the agri-vote?
Absolutely. It's what we saw. There are a number of facets to it. But yes, certainly the IFA and others managed to recruit and get the ear of various independents, Kerry's own Michael Healy Ray and Danny Healy Ray among them, and the big march the other week in Athlone, and so on. And that is what the IFA do, the various the ICMSA, the various farm organisations, MOCRA, etc. That's their job, and I wouldn't. They've have no need to apologise to anybody for fighting for their members' interests. What is interesting is, of course, the independent rural TDs, of course, then managed to spook rural representatives from the government part, from the main government parties, from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and you had a very... There was a strong signal. You'll remember that the Taoiseach was in China at the time on a trade mission, ironically. A strong signal from the Taoiseach that Ireland would, in fact, support it. And then a reversal of that position. All of it done by the rural lobby. You're quite right. A very, very strong flexing of political power to the rural lobby. The government were caught... With their strategy was to try to quietly smuggle it over the line rather than making a song and a dance out of it. And then they found that was an error because they should have really been explaining how it
this
would
is,
have
This is my key question about this, John. How much of a lesson is this for the government? And look, there are genuine concerns on behalf of the farmers. Billy Keller,
absolutely,
we had him on the program, and he was making it. He has real concerns about it, the globalisation aspect of it. What happens 5 years down the line? There are some food safety concerns, perhaps maybe overplayed in the drive to try and stop this. But at the same time, there was nobody on the other side from within government until very belatedly after the European Council vote, people like Regina Doherty coming out and saying, well, hold on a second now, there's more than just agriculture to this deal.
Yes.
As you said, they tried to smuggle it over the line.
Yeah, and even at that, there was an argument even that within agriculture that this could be beneficial for the dairy sector in Ireland as opposed to the beef sector. But I don't think necessarily the health concerns of the farmers were overplayed. I'm old enough to remember the van or the wagon down the end of the mart where farmers in the 70s and 80s could buy whatever antibiotics and remedies without any much supervision. They were, you know, and that is the situation in Brazil. We saw the IFA guys and the Farmers journalists traveling and finding instances of that, big hardware shops, over the counter, all sorts of queer stuff being sold. And the public health implications of that are considerable. We've come a long way in Ireland. And, you know, I mean, that is the argument of the farmers saying, look, we'll compete, but we must be competing on a level pitch. If they're undercutting us on pharmaceuticals and veterinary remedies and all the rest of that, well, that's not going to do, you know, that's not going to help us. Yeah. So there you are. But Sean Kelly's stance was very interesting. In the first place, he quite rightly voted against sending this to the European Court of Justice. It was a pretty gutless act. We've seen that in Irish politics a long time ago, many times, where the contentious moral and personal sexual morality issues were continually being sent to the courts and being left to the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, the EU courts in Luxembourg, and then so to give the government of the day an alibi, come back and say, listen, if it was really up to us, we probably wouldn't do this. However, we've been told by the courts and we've no remedy. So that is seeking legal answers to political questions is always, in my view, gutless. And that's what we saw in Strasbourg this week. We saw, again, the French farmers never missing a trick out there on the streets in numbers while this carry-on was going on. I hope it doesn't delay the process. We're told it could be 2 years. In which case there'd be serious questions about whether or not this Mercosur thing can hold up at all. So I don't know. We'll have to fully play and see on that one.
Okay, John, stay with us. We're going to talk more. We'll talk about that St. Patrick's Day visit and other things after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, we're talking with John Downing on Call from the Dáil. And John, speaking of Donald Trump and all of that, Minister for State Neil Richmond revealed during the week 9 or 10 ministers will head to 15 US states around St. Patrick's Day. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, you mentioned the fault line, John, that's there now for Ireland in EU-US relations. He'll have to walk that in the Oval Office again, will he? Is it too far ahead to be looking in the crazy world of Donald Trump?
It may well be. I mean, if Trump didn't take the Greenland, or was it Iceland, off-ramp, as you describe it, if he hadn't done that, there would be serious questions about whether Ireland would be in the Oval Office, whether there would be that shamrock ceremony. The Taoiseach, to my mind, we heard it in the Dáil, we heard people before profit, noises off other opposition politicians saying, look, it's time to stop this charade, stand up to Trump, all well and good. I see the arguments and it's not, I'm not without sympathy for them. However, you have to take the practical point here. And by the way, finally, it is the office of US president that the Taoiseach and that the Irish government is saluting, not the individual. And, you know, there's a danger here of creating precedents. It's very valuable access. It's not just the tour allure stuff in the Oval Office. It's also practical meetings with senior officials, just putting a name with a face and establishing a contact. The other occasions across the country, probably should, very many of them probably should and would go ahead anyway. And they, are, in practical terms, are very valuable for Irish trade and investment. And of course, we have to remember, we also need to make the point that there are almost as many Irish generated jobs in the 50 states of the USA as there are American generated jobs in Ireland. So for all that, there is no question, but this must, these contacts must go ahead. They must be built upon.
Yeah. Okay. Another listener gets in touch and wants to know, can John comment on Donald Trump saying the out loud, or the quiet bit out loud, that if they make housing more affordable, the baby boomers will see their property prices devalue. Rings true to our housing situation here in Ireland too. We're still awaiting the appointment of the housing czar. And that brings us on to our next piece, John. Have a listen to this row which happened between Owen O'Brien and James Brown in the Dáil this week.
The lines are on repeat from the opposition. You know, Deputy O'Brien keeps coming back in and saying we've provided alternatives and never repeats them. The reason you never repeat them is because they were soundly rejected by the people in the general election. No. It's the same old line. We've said them again and again and again, but you actually don't.
You said you'd build 40,000 homes. You never.
My understanding in the last round court, there are rules against what the deputy has just accused me of.
But you're misleading the House and your party lied during the election.
No, I understand there are rules, Lascar Corda, on the House of what the deputy just accused me of. I'm asking for a decision.
Darren O'Brien,
I'm asking for a decision.
Simon Harris,
Deputy O'Brien.
During the election, we have the evidence.
You address your remarks through the chair, and if you don't conclude your crossfire with the minister when you're asked to do so, well, then you'll be asked to leave the chamber.
I should respect the chair.
Yeah. That's all I ask you to do. And you can make your point robustly as you like. Now, you know the rules of the House in relation to the comments that were made. I can't enforce those rules. It's up to yourselves to decide whether you're going to withdraw the remarks or whatever the minister is requesting. But I'd ask you to please conduct the debate in a civil and mannerly way.
There you go. That's a little bit of John McGuinness, the Crown Caller, trying to bring some order to that debate. The housing issue hasn't gone away. This new rental rule deadline coming in the 1st of March. And that point by our listener, John, is it a bit too cynical to think that there's too many people comfortable with high house prices in this country for the government to do anything about it?
It's a little bit on the cynical side, but there is a basis for it. People have said, senior politicians have quietly said to me over the years, All right, there are people. Now, this is before the extent of the housing shortage. We've always had difficulties. There's always been pulling and dragging with housing. But yeah, there was a point, there is a point to be made. There are more people with houses than without, despite, I'm not for a moment trying to talk down people's right to an affordable home. But there is a point about price, sneaky point about property values that is less talked about. I think that would have been a more valid point 10, 12 years ago than it is now. There you go. I mean, this is a rehashing of the row. The new tenancy rules, which are to come in the next, they're due to come in March. There is suddenly some doubt about it, if they will be available on time, because there's an awful lot of detail, and there's the echoes coming from the civil services that they're a bit behind on writing these detailed rules, which basically turn around giving six-year tenancies and fixed rents to tenants. And of course, that is spooking a lot of the smaller
people,
landlords.
And then,
John,
you have a wider role. Yeah, you have a wider row then of how is it going to be solved? How urgent is it going to be done? Is it the government? Is it the local authorities? Is it them together? This housing czar, which was first mooted, then it said, no, it's not going to be a housing czar, it's going to be a committee. Now it's going to be a housing czar again. The opposition are saying, this is just more bureaucracy. And then we have James Brown in the Dáil on Tuesday, giving out about local authorities not collecting €32 million in derelict site levies, and he's saying, this Thursday he said it in the Dáil, he said, imagine the same local authorities who are complaining to me they don't have enough money not collecting all this tax. So, like, is this housing czar, is he going to be the one now going in, kicking down doors and banging on tables, telling the local authorities, or are we just back to that old story of central government blaming the local authorities, holding their hands up, blaming central government?
We are back around the merry-go-round, and we are back again to this blatant, screamingly obvious point here, which is that you can tinker all you like around the edges. Each sort of remedy designed ideally to improve things, frequently has the effect of creating a series of other problems. Whereas the real issue here is to build more and more and more houses, and that's not happening fast enough. So we are going to hear very, very noisy, very, very strident opposition from Sinn Féin, from the Labour Party, the Social Democrats, People Before Profit. They have basically said they're going to fight this issue tooth and nail. And of course, they will be targeting the independents one way and another, trying to split them away from the governing parties. So there's a lot coming up here. I suspect it will be more noise than substance in the end, because the government have the numbers and they should be able to put this one through. But there's a lot. It's again another very difficult corner for the government at the moment.
Yeah, and they're going to have to be. They would be aware as anybody else that, you know, all right, we're supposedly a long way away from an election, but the clock is ticking on timelines to demonstrate real progress.
Yes.
Otherwise, there probably will be a political price to be paid.
Yes, and this government did get off with a caution last in November 2024, when they managed against all the odds, against dangerous radicals like the Central Bank and the ESRI saying, no, actually, this is not true. They managed to convey the idea that we had kind of turned the corner on housing. With a bang, we found out at the start of 2025 that was absolutely not the case. So we're back again. And it's one of these kind of dispiriting all rows, really, because there's an element of political defeatism surrounding it.
Yep, there is. John, listen, great as always. Thanks a million for giving us your take on the Dáil week and the political week in general. John Downing of the Irish Independent there with Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.